Grace and peace to each one. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it's a joy to be gathered with the saints here again. Speaking of Light Christian Fellowship in Stetson, Maine, it's been a couple of years since we've been here, since just good to see you all again, and good to see your faithfulness and commitment to the Lord. It's about 4 years ago that we were entering the year 2020, and I remember the first message at our church at Ephrata in the year 2020 had to do with having 2020 vision. And I recall that there was just a good many articles and messages and such like that you would keep hearing that idea of having 2020 vision. A 2020 vision, I don't understand why all it's called that and whatever, but if you go to the eye doctor and he tells you you have 2020 vision, that's good vision. It's good eyesight. So I just remember having that thought and being blessed with it as we entered the year 2020. Little did we know the kind of year that we would experience. And I think we all probably experienced some confusion that we hadn't planned on experiencing, and perhaps some cloudy vision that we didn't expect. But perhaps we also found ourselves driven to our knees in a way that we hadn't expected, and found that it's not, in this world, it's not looking around where we gain clear vision or have clear vision, it's on our knees. Seems like there's something about changing the year that makes people want to raise their life to a higher standard than what they've experienced before. I'm not here to talk about the pros and cons of New Year's resolutions. If you have them, go for it. But I think in general, it takes some kind of resolution beyond it being a new year to actually take our lives to new levels. I'd like to hopefully bless you with the word out of Daniel and just give you the exhortation and the call in your life to dare to be a Daniel in the coming year. Maybe we could pause for a word of prayer before we continue. O Lord God, the God of heaven and earth, creator of all things, the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all. Lord, we bow before you and worship you and desire that you would meet with us here this morning. Minister your word to each heart. Use my trembling heart and lips. And bless each soul that's gathered here today. I pray for distractions and hindrances in hearing your word to be removed, and that we can all, in one accord, turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus and in a genuine way desire to learn of him, take his yoke upon us, learn to be meek and humble in heart, and to be a student, a faithful student, a follower of him in this life and in this world that we live in. Bless this congregation. May there be a continual growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray for all hearts and souls to be directed to you this morning. And as we come to the close of this year, I want to thank you for your faithfulness and just trust you, rely on you, and believe that you are already in the future, and that as we build our lives on rock, that we can enter the future without fear, in absolute trust, your Heavenly Father. Grant us your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Dare to be a Daniel. I invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read the chapter. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel would be one of those characters in the scriptures that is just very, very much looked up to as quite an example for us to follow. Now, I would love if we would be able to get more of a window in who was Daniel? What kind of a home did he come out of? What kind of setting was he in? What kind of tests did he prove himself in before this time? We just don't have much of a background of who this Daniel was. We do know that physically he would have been considered a perfect build, good health, and intelligent, well-taught, well-educated, understanding, a remarkable young man. I think we can safely assume that Daniel was faithful in the little things. And he was not very old at this time. It caused him children. I don't know how old he was. Teenager, probably. Daniel grew up in a very dark time. Children of Israel had backslidden. And much confusion, much idolatry in his time. Many false prophets, just a few true prophets, Jeremiah being one of them, that warned the people to turn their hearts back to God, turn away from idolatry, and to serve the living God. Very few heeded those warnings. Daniel seems like probably one of those that did. In the first verses, it speaks of Nebuchadnezzar coming and besieging the city. And as we know, that would be quite a dark experience. I don't know for sure. I'm assuming that Daniel was in Jerusalem, would have grown up there. Could be wrong on that, but being who he was, it seems likely. I didn't do the study of how long this siege lasted, but let me just read a few verses in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm, again, just assuming that Daniel probably was familiar with the word of God and with these words that I'm about to read, and he believed them. Deuteronomy 28, just reading 47 to 53. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustedst, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Well, that gives us quite a picture of just the darkness and the despair and the confusion and loss that a city would go through in this kind of siege, overtaking of an enemy nation. Daniel had just come through this, probably lost many family members, many friends, lost his home city, the pride and joy of his nation, and even the vessels in the temple were taken and dedicated to a false god. What a time of temptation to just give up on God. Everything Daniel had around him was upended. His people were destroyed and scattered. His beloved city was in ruins. The very temple of God, the hub of his religion, was ransacked and in shambles. To the human eye, it was all over for Daniel, except for this. God had promised. In Jeremiah 25, 11 to 13, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. Daniel believed by faith that this wasn't the end. God's people were not done. 70 years would come to an end, and Jerusalem would be restored. Daniel was willing to forgive and to serve the enemy nation, knowing that God was still on the scene and he wasn't making any mistakes. He was willing to serve the very kingdom that was at enmity against his people. But God was first. In that setting, and just considering what all Daniel had come through, what all he had given up, what all trials he had faced, that he was able to look around and give of himself to serve these very people that had come against his nation. But he believed God's word that God had allowed this to happen. God had used this to punish and to restore his work in Jerusalem in the long run. His commitment ran deep. His willingness to suffer for his faith ran deep. He knew God as the great I Am. God had revealed himself to Moses. Moses asked his name, and he said, I am. That's the God we serve, the God who is, regardless of what we face, and regardless of what Daniel faced, he knew God as the great I Am. He's not based on what our experience is right now, and whether our programs are working out, or whether everything runs smoothly as we had hoped, whether we can accomplish our own dreams and visions in life. He's not based on that. God is throughout all eternity. And living a life that's based on that reality being deep within us is the life of Daniel. Whatever gains or losses he faced as an individual, God still was. In the face of great loss, Daniel stood strong and overcame. Against all odds, Daniel stood for what was right. Daniel was brought into the greatest kingdom at that time, quite against the wishes of his people. He was offered the king's fare for years to come. Probably the best you could eat and the best you could drink every day, and as much as he wanted, it's put right in front of him. He was chosen for one of the top prime candidates for the king's servants because of his physical makeup and his smarts. Now, wouldn't that feed the ego of a young man? Wouldn't that tug at the heart of any young man? Daniel was brought face to face with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Daniel was as human as the rest of us. But he was unwavering in his commitment. Now, his commitment to God, I'm quite sure, didn't start in Babylon. Probably started when the going was, maybe was pretty good. But he had a deep, unwavering commitment. Come what may, he would be faithful. He had one God, and it was clearly not his belly. He had one God, and it was not this world with its greed and its lust. He had one God, and he was on the throne no matter what. What Babylon had done to Israel was not a surprise, because he had read it in the Word, and he had heard it from his prophets. He was committed to God and his program, committed to his own salvation, committed to the salvation of his people, committed to God's plan, committed to that which is and was and is to come. He came to many great tests, and that's why he is the hero that he is. Against all odds, he won over evil. And just a few chapters later here, he was brought to test when his enemies really wanted to bring him down. He was one of the top three in the kingdom, and the other two couldn't quite stand him. They were very jealous. They really wanted to get him out of the way, probably because of his integrity and because of his loyalty to the good of the kingdom, to the good of others, his impeccable character. And they wanted him out of the way. And the only fault his enemies could find was in his religion. And as we know the story, the test came down to, would he continue to pray to God or would he pray to the king? Now, surely, couldn't Daniel have just kept the window closed and kept praying just as he did before? Maybe pulled the curtain, opened the window and pulled the curtain so nobody could see him. But no, Daniel understood the test was on. And it wasn't just between him and God. It was also, what were others seeing? Was he going to capitulate to the king and his demands? Or was God on the throne? He was committed to his own integrity and the good of everyone looking on. Daniel could have, perhaps, in his heart with a clear conscience, kept praying but done so in secret. But what kind of stumbling block may that have put on many common folk that were looking up to Daniel as a good example, as one that you could follow? And if it appeared that he had quit praying because of the demand of the king, how many others would have perhaps lost their way? Today, none of us have, as far as I know, been tested anything near like Daniel was. And I hope that we wouldn't be tested in the kind of way this coming year or in our lives, the way Daniel was. But that's something we don't need to know. We don't need to figure out just what kind of testing we will yet face. We can just know that we serve the same God Daniel did and the same temptations he faced and overcame. By God's grace, we can also be overcomers in the same way. The battle between good and evil is still raging. And the people of God maybe often feel around us too, just like they did in Daniel's day. Compromise, apostasy, not new to that. And that can be discouraging. But in the middle of all that, and whatever God allows to refine his people, that we just understand God is still on the throne. God is the great I am. Maybe it seems like the world is winning against God. It surely could have seemed that way to Daniel, but he based his life on the word of God and on his promises. Does it seem like the world is winning? Build your life on God's word. God will have the final say. God will be the final victor. Perhaps it seems like the world has so much to offer and its temptations ever so strong. But young man, I don't think you'll face any temptations stronger than what Daniel faced. And Daniel had prepared his heart beforehand that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And with anything else that would be thrown at him, he would make himself a good servant in this world, a good servant to those that were his captors and those that put him to work wherever it was, commit himself to being a good servant. But his earthly rulers, those over him, were not number one. God was number one. We too have God's word. We too have the promise that the powers of this world are coming to their end. We too have the promise of God having the final victory. We too have the promise of a future gathering of the people of God in the New Jerusalem. And the same faith will see us through. The same victory will be ours. Daniel, after so many testings, he had the testimony of having an excellent spirit and of being a man highly beloved. He truly was a character that we can look to and aspire to be more like. Dare to be a Daniel. For the good of all mankind, with a rock-solid commitment to the Almighty God throughout this coming year and the rest of our lives. God bless you.